For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. My name is Matt Connor. You may notice I'm solo today. Quite a bit of news that we need to work through here. One, my good buddy, the fairly good golfer, I guess, for how much he golfs, and a great radio host, Sterling Holmes, is actually sick today. He's been out with COVID. He's feeling better, but he's still a little bit under the weather. So if you're in contact with Sterling at all, like Twitter, in our members chat or whatever, and you want to give him a get well soon sort of message that would probably lift his spirits, let him know how much you miss him here, because obviously now you're just stuck with me, which is the lesser than. I typically pick on Sterling, but he's very good at his job, and I'd never tell him that. But he's great at his job, and so we're obviously going to miss him here. But I'm excited. In just a few minutes, my old buddy, BJ Kissel, is going to be here. A lot of you may know BJ's great work. He was the Chiefs team reporter for a number of years. My first podcast experience ever was with BJ. We both were on staff at a site called Arrowhead Pride. It was part of the SB Nation network. Joel Thorman was the man running Arrowhead Pride back then. And then I was like a deputy editor running things when Joel was gone and writing there, and BJ was there, and Seth was there, and Matt Verderam was there in some respects. And anyway, it was a great group of people, a lot of fun. And I remember when BJ said, hey, I think we could do this thing called a podcast. And that was like 2010 or something crazy. So anyway, thanks, Josh says the better hair is here today, at least. I don't know about that. I think still good. Let me just say this, because we're going to talk about a lot today. BJ is going to have great perspective. We're going to talk about the Chiefs. We're going to talk about being a team reporter for a while. He's got the new KC Sports Network that's going gangbusters, and we love their work there. We want to talk about all that. We want to talk about Darrell Williams signing, etc. But let me just tell a little story, a little bit maybe personal, and maybe some of you are going to roll your eyes about this because you just want to keep it Chiefs. But I'll just say this. You know, this morning I have a second grade son, and his name is Elliot. And you know, this morning we were doing the thing that I guess moms like to do, or maybe that, whatever. You know, my wife was like, hey, I made a little sign, last day of second grade. We go out on the porch. My wife's like, hey, can you make him laugh so he takes a good picture, and we'll take photos. And then, you know, we did. We're doing the little family thing on the porch before school, and we're out there. And so I'm just saying all kinds of poop jokes and whatever that a second grader is going to laugh at to then send him off to school. And we live right next door to the school that we send him to. So, you know, he just kind of walks off into the distance and then goes to the school, and then that's that. And so this morning we had a moment of like, oh, our baby's growing up, and we never expected to have a kid, and then we had a kid. So he's just kind of like, wow, this little surprise is like growing up. And if you've paid attention to the news today, you know that I'm bringing this up because it feels a little bit weird to just talk about Chiefs nonsense in the midst of like a heavy news day. And today's a heavy news day, where what we know right now is in a city in Texas, a gunman, an 18-year-old gunman, went in, shot and killed 14 children and one teacher, it sounds like, as well as his own grandmother. It sounds like the suspect is dead too. And of course, there's all kinds of details that could be added to or muddled or mixed within that. I say all that to say there are moments when we're reminded of the greater reality going on and what things really mean. And this morning, then reading those news, I thought, man, we sent our son to school this morning in like a little emotional, meaningful moment. And yet there are 14 families tonight whose own kid won't be coming home from that the last day of school was just the last day, if it was the last day of school there. And I can't help but think like, oh yeah, I know I'm supposed to talk about Darrell Williams, and I know I'm supposed to talk about off-season power rankings, and I know that we're all gathered here or listening on audio, or if you're here with us in the video, and I'm sorry even to be so serious here, but I think there are moments that it's good for us just to kind of pause and go, man, there are serious things to address, and there are better ways to be in the world. And there are moments that if we can't begin to have a conversation about the things that we can't seem to have a conversation about, then really, like, what is the meaning of any of this? And I love sports for the way that it provides an escape from and provides community around things in the midst of all these. In a heavy world, sports is wonderful for making it a little bit lighter. And I like being a part of that. But at the same time, in a moment like this, I just think, how can I talk about a sport, which is really just fun and games, like literally the category of game? How can I talk about that without at least just addressing from the outset, hey, today's a heavy day and my own heart is heavy and I don't know what to say about it. I don't know how to feel about it other than a great feeling of grief and a wish that what is sometimes called the better angels of our nature could come forward on a divisive issue and find a way to say, let's stop saying, oh, no, you got to be realistic about this. I think, like, being realistic is what gets us here. And I would hope that somehow we could have the faith to be unrealistic, to have an imagination for a better world than the one that we currently have. And if that takes being unrealistic to start to have those conversations, I'd love to be a part of that. I hope at our core that you would too. I don't know what else to say about this other than I know that we all feel the same way. It's a tragedy in every way. And no matter what you feel about specific issues, we all look at this and shake our heads. I just hope maybe this time we can do more than that. Because last week it was a grocery store in Buffalo. This week it's an elementary school. And these aren't the first types of incidents like these in these very categories. So I'll just say that. We'll leave all that heaviness here up front. And if you're offended that we're not talking about Chiefs, I'm sorry. But that's where I'm at. And it would be on dishonest of me to not just be honest about even where I'm at. So our prayers are with all the people who were affected there. Our hopes are in all the ways that we could find unrealistic ways to come together and move forward. And we're also just thinking about Sterling today as he's trying to heal up from COVID. Like, wishes well to him. On that note, I want to say it's just the right time to, at least it provides me a segue to talk about the Chiefs in just a second. I do just want to say we're sponsored by KC Beer. And after all that heaviness, it may feel weird. It's actually a good time to me take a drink. I have to say, I've been loving my shipment of KC beer that Patrick dropped off for me here because I live in the Midwest, like further east Midwest. And so it's hard for me to get to KC beer on site. But tonight I'm drinking the Kolsch Dare to Beer Different. They make their beer with the four German purity laws established in 1517, which is older than any of us, I'm pretty sure. And anyway, using only malt, water, hops, and yeast. They make delicious products. They're also just wonderful people. If in any way you can support them and want to step in, go see them, pick them up at the grocery store, look for the red carton, give them a shout on Twitter. Let us know that you're drinking. Yeah, they're going to love you. Support KC Beer. They're a great sponsor. And they love the Chiefs too. Just like I do, I am thrilled. I'm pretty sure BJ Kissel is here. Am I right? Am I not right about that?
Yes, you are correct. You are correct. My phone just went off like two seconds ago. So trying to make sure my AirPods didn't screw everything up. But what's going on, man?
Man, BJ, I was just saying earlier, I'm pretty sure my first podcast venture was with you at Arrowhead Pride in our like earliest day. Is that right?
Do you remember those days? Talk, and we had like nine people on at once because we were being so nice that we wanted everybody a chance to be on who wanted to be on. And you had nine people with no video. So it was just a bunch of noise and just a bunch of people shouting the whole time. It was kind of a mess, but man, it was a good old days.
We didn't know what we were doing back then. Man, those were the good old days. There was an incredible group of people on that site at that time. Not to say there's not great people on that site now or in other iterations, but just thinking back to those days, yeah, those are some really fun.
I think
times.
It's what's most fun and special about just Chiefs content now. You look around and I mean, granted, there's a lot of new people, a lot of great people, but there's a core group of us that have been doing this together for like 12, 13, 14 years that all started at Arrowhead Pride at the same time. I mean, between Seth and Matt and yourself and Stags and Craig and me, and I'm going to forget a bunch of people, but it was a cool time. And that was when they weren't good. And so like we had to be creative about the stuff that we were talking about to entertain ourselves. I think of some of the content series we were doing back then, just to keep ourselves engaged with the team. And it was fun.
Man, I remember my first story back then was about the Tony Gonzalez trade to the Falcons. And then you and I are on recordings probably talking about Tyler Palko and maybe like Kyle Orton or something like that. I don't know.
I just brought up the other day, Becca. I remember, you know, clamoring for Kyle Orton and like, he's going to be the one that like he could, we're going to be competitive. It's like, I always try to keep that in mind. Not that he wasn't a good quarterback at the NFL level, but we've come a long ways in the content and just the amount of good quality Chiefs content. That's the other like kind of other side of that, is that we all pushed each other to be more creative or better or whatever we were doing. And that's continued for the last 15 years. And I don't think you can find a fan base that's got a better mix of content on multiple platforms that we can all, you know, be a part of this space and create cool stuff. And knowing that a lot of people that support us at KC Sports Network, the same people supporting you guys here at Arrowhead Addict, they're supporting the OG and Arrowhead Pride and supporting the Athletic and Seth and all the stuff he's got going on, and Ryan Tracy and all these guys that have been doing this for a long time. Like, there's enough good content for everybody that it's fun and it's special. I see Patrick Allen joining in. He was obviously one of the original guys. Him and Woody, still don't like Woody, wherever he is. The old moderator on Arrowhead Pride got us all in trouble.
Oh, man. Well, BG, obviously, I want to talk about the venture that you're up to these days. I want to talk about some Chiefs, whatever. If you're watching on video, if you're not watching on video, if you're listening to us, just want to let you know right now we're chatting with BJ Kissel. You can follow him on Twitter at BJ_KCSN. You know BJ's work as the Chiefs team reporter for how many years was that? Okay, 6 years. And now you just celebrated what, the 1 year anniversary of the KC Sports Network, of which you're a founder. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about, let's start there. Let's start and then we'll go backwards just a little bit. How are you feeling about 1 year into this new venture of yours?
I couldn't, if you would have told me the things that I would be doing a year ago, like to this point, I wouldn't have believed you. And not necessarily from like a bragging or being confident. It's just, there's so much stuff to running a business and doing all of this that I was not prepared for. And so I spent a lot of my time, it used to be, you know, looking up stats and watching film and trying to create these storylines and telling stories and thinking of new creative ways to engage and create content. And now it's, you know, payroll processing, taxes, it's cyber security insurance. It's all these things where I spent all this time reading this stuff. Like, this is not what I thought I was going to be doing. And it's a blessing. Don't get me wrong. It's part of the deal, but yeah, my days are a lot different than they were a couple of years ago. I feel less informed. So luckily, Craig, Maddie, Kent, the rest of the guys on our network are very good at what they do. And so they can hold it down in that regard, where I just have to handle all the behind the scenes stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's a year into it to be able to do this for a living right now, and to be able to try to build something new like this from scratch in this kind of environment. It's been a lot of fun, and it's because of the support. I mean, the local businesses, I just heard you talking about KC Beer Company. Love KC Beer Company. Love Katie. Yeah. Katie Camlin, she's awesome. And, you know, that's what it's all about. Get local companies that want to support you and find people who like what you're doing, and then just support each other and try to do good stuff and good content, and good things happen. So it's awesome to see what you guys are doing. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun at KC Sports Network. I'm excited to get into the fall. This kind of that slow period right now. I'm excited to get to the fall and be able to launch a lot of stuff that, you know, I've been planning for the last 4 or 5 months.
I'll bet.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I want to ask about that, but I know some people are wanting to hear you talk about the Chiefs. So I'd love to do a lot of that. And by the way, do you ever feel like a tension when you were working at Arrowhead mm-hmm. for 6 years and then like knowing, and maybe some of it's changed because it's been a little bit now and maybe some of the faces in the building have changed and you get a little distance and you can, but was there ever a tension or even now, like, do you feel like, there are things I'd like to fully mm-hmm. say and I can't fully say, or, you know, like how free do you feel in terms of, oh yeah, I can be completely out there with my feelings about all things Chiefs?
Yeah, the beauty is that I really didn't have to change a whole lot when I got to the Chiefs and then when I left the Chiefs. I mean, I was writing and talking a lot of the same ways, you know, back then. I'm a fan. I want them to do well. I was never going to hide from that. And so I never felt like I was spinning or ignoring things that were negative. Now, luckily the team was really good. You know, when I was there, they didn't necessarily go to the Super Bowl every time, but compared to what they were when we were creating all that content before we were talking about, I'm very much a, you know, keep the main thing, the main thing, and keep perspective on what the team was able to accomplish. But I think the only, you know, there's stories and things like that I just won't share. And that's not to be like, I know something you don't know. It's not that. It's, you know, there's trust built and there are conversations and things that I saw and heard that, you know, weren't meant to be public, and I'd be breaking confidence of people that trust me and I have good relationships with to get a little social clout or to tell a little cool story. It's not about that. And it's not anything that's earth shattering. It's going to change everyone's opinion on the organization, this big juicy thing. It's nothing like that. I think most people would be surprised to hear that, you know, when you see something or hear something with the Chiefs and you're like, that doesn't make sense. We need an answer on that. You know, when something doesn't make sense, it's because a big piece of the truth is missing. And most of the time, it's a lot more common sense than you would think. You know, there's not bad people and all these bad things happening with these bad agendas. It's not like that at all. It's just dynamics in play and things like that. So yeah, it doesn't happen a lot. You know, I'm pretty confident in the stories that I've shared and things that I've told, but I'm pretty much an open book anyway. And I was, like I said, I was there for a lot of success, a lot of phenomenal people in that building that gave me a hell of an opportunity that I'm never going to forget, with some experiences that I'll carry with me for the rest of my life. And I took a lot of pride in being, you know, down on that sideline because of where we all started together. You know, I felt like, you know, I was on the sideline for the Super Bowl. I was sitting there at halftime thinking about starting at AP and all the blogging and all the dumb things that I wrote and all the bad pieces, and that there's so many people that I thought were so much better than me that I felt like, you know, it was up to me to show respect to that position, because the number of people that would want it and people that supported me. I mean, you, Matt, you supported me at SB Nation Kansas City. You brought me over there at a time to get more reps. Yeah. I mean, we've all helped each other and leaned on each other at one point or another, and it continues now with KCSN. And so very much into the pay it forward motto when it comes to Chiefs content, because it's special. Like I said, we've all done this together. We've been around a long time. A lot of the people that have been following the Chiefs in this space for the last 10 to 12 years know all of us pretty well. And they've seen us have families and, you know, get married and do all these things and kind of grow with our lives. So it's special. You got me in a reflective mood, Matt, probably because all the crap going on in the world right now, that's just hits everybody differently. That's got little ones, but yeah, man, it's Chiefs content and Chiefs fans and all of it. It's a special group to be a part of. And like I said, I was honored to have that position and to represent fans down there and try to connect them, you know, to the players and organization during my time there. It meant a lot to me, and I took a lot of pride and I took it very seriously.
Hmm. Well, you did great work there. BJ, I'd love to get your thoughts on this off season, because this has been, quite a shocking, surprising off season. It feels like coming into this year, you knew maybe a couple of the horses that they'd been riding for years may sort of run off into new pastures, but largely this is the set. And then we've just watched that script completely flipped. How much of that did you see coming? at all. How surprised have you been by the last 2 months of transactions?
The Tyreek thing surprised me. And I don't know if it's just because I never thought that they would let him go. And then once you again, it shocks everybody. And then more information comes out and you start to say, okay, what's the most common sense thing that would have happened here? And then all the dust settles. Now everybody's confident again. And I remember going back when it went down, it's like, just let this play out. Brett Veach isn't a terrible GM because Tyreek Hill didn't stay and they traded him away. You get assets for him. What do you do with those assets? You go and win a couple more Super Bowls and everyone's going to call him a genius for it. So kind of let that stuff play out. But I didn't see the Tyreek Hill stuff coming. I thought, just as far as giving credit, I mean, that didn't get leaked anywhere. I mean, that wasn't being talked behind the scenes. That wasn't being talked on Twitter or anything. Most time, if it's behind the scenes, it doesn't take very long for it to get out on Twitter when those conversations are taking place like that. So that's probably the thing that surprised me most about the Tyreek situation. And then on the defensive side, for me, I said this for weeks leading up to the draft, is like, they got to figure out edge rusher. And I never thought they would go into a draft as pigeonholed as it felt like they were. And I can't remember, Matt, you tell me a time. I don't remember going into a draft where it felt like there is a starter week one that is not on our roster right now that we have to get in this draft. I had never felt like we had been in that position going into a draft. They'd always signed, you know, a veteran to a 2-year deal that could start if the young guy they end up drafting isn't quite ready to go. And I always use him as an example, but like an Alex Okafor, like you sign Alex Okafor a couple weeks before the draft, you know, he could step in and play. And then if the guy that you like in the draft doesn't fall to you, you don't feel like you have to reach or do all those things. So I was really surprised going into the draft. And then when Karlaftis was there and didn't have to trade up for him, it was like, oh, perfect. And so I'm not surprised with what happened on the defense. I'm glad Frank is back. I'm going to be the number one Frank supporter in this city. I had a chance to be there and see what he did and how real that was. And people can have their opinions about that. I'm never going to change my mind as I was there and I know it was real. But I'm always more interested, not necessarily in the talent or you watch the highlights and like, how does this guy fit? How does that guy fit? For me, it's so much about the personality that they get together in that room. And that knowing when you had Frank, when you had Hitch, and when you had Tyron, you had three completely different kinds of leaders. And not to say that the other guys in that room aren't leaders in and of themselves, but Hitch was just that, he's not going to say a whole lot, but he's going to do everything. Everyone's going to look to him. He's going to have the answer. If you have a question about anything, Hitch is the guy that you go to. Tyron is the alpha amongst alphas that everyone's going to follow. And Frank is the guy that you look at when you're like, ooh, I'm not feeling great right now. That guy got $100 million and he's going out there playing with half a body for like 2 years. So you can't, to go from guys who were kind of injured that just, they weren't on the field, that were leaders on the team, to a guy that already got paid, that had every reason to not play, going out there at 60% because everyone in that room knew what he was doing and what he was going through. It meant something. And so to have those guys, particularly Hitch and Tyron, leave, to me, it's not what are the talent that they're fixing with. It's what kind of personalities they're going to bring into this room, because you need to bring in some alphas, the guys that can step up and speak and kind of have those mix of personalities to make it work. And so I'm interested to see kind of, they have so many young guys now. Just how does that camaraderie, that stuff that it's hard to see from the outside, but means everything on the inside. You know, who are the guys who are going to kind of take everybody under their wing and kind of get it all together? You know, is it a Justin Reed? Is it a Nick Bolton? Is it a Willie Gay now, you know, stepping up? Is it some of those other younger guys that players will kind of look to in these situations? So that's, you know, Chris Jones, a guy that obviously can go out there and make plays. And so that's the part most interesting to me. It's going to take some time to work through that on the defensive side. So I'm already preparing first few weeks. There's going to be some probably rough moments with some young players, but overall, the defensive side of the one is the one that interested me the most, because Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, and Andy Reid on the offensive side, you're always going to feel confident about what those guys are going to be able to do, regardless of who they surround them with. They're going to put points on the board.
Yeah. Let me ask you, obviously you're saying a lot about Frank here and offering up a defense and saying, you know,
I'm triggered.
I love that. I think, I mean, would you say Frank and Frank's situation is very misunderstood by the average fan?
I don't know if it's misunderstood. I just don't think people weigh a lot of the same things at the same rate, where they think it was a bad deal. They shouldn't have done it because of how it played out. I don't play the revisionist. That's just not how I am. So for me, it's, you've got him here. The market dictated you paid him X. That has nothing to do with the Chiefs. That has nothing to do with, like, that's the market of what he was going to cost to trade for him and to bring him in at that, in that situation at that time. And so that's why the draft is so important to hit on, so you don't get stuck having to pay for veterans to replenish some of those spots where you drafted guys that didn't work out. And so in Frank's, I wouldn't say it's necessarily misunderstood as much as it is, you know, he was playing injured and he was playing through a lot of pain, a lot of things that, you know, fans can knock on him saying they didn't get the production, but he was still the best player they had available. And he had every reason to not play. And he played his way through and he would have got paid either way. And so to me, I see that as, man, this guy's putting it on for his teammates, and his teammates knew that. That's real to me, to steal a line from Coach Reed. Whereas it's easy to look back and say, well, he had X amount of sacks and he gets paid to do this. And that's fair. But at the same time, it's also not real because you have to deal with the hand that you have. And so they made the move. They made the best of it. They won a Super Bowl. We're in the golden age of Chiefs football. They've never had this much success before. And even if it wasn't, you know, 20 sacks a season and all of this, like, he helped us win a Super Bowl. And he had a positive influence on guys in that locker room who are going to be here for a long time, much like Tyron has had. And so I wouldn't say it's misunderstood as much as it was. I'm just going to defend it because I saw the things that were valuable that weren't necessarily, you don't see on Sundays. You know, you don't see when you're out there on the field, but you talk to his teammates off the record, just off to the side, or his coaches, and they all supported the hell out of him. So that's what I'm going to defend, because I knew that part of it was real. But people who knock the production and you pay him this, you should get this, that's completely fair. But once you make that move, you got to make the best of it. And I feel like they did, because again, we're in a huge, this stretch of success. I don't know what you do if that wasn't the move. You know, you use that pick and draft LJ Collier. LJ Collier is not making, you know, three sacks in the last three minutes of the three playoff games to get him to the Super Bowl and then get a, you know, game sealing sack in the Super Bowl either. So,
Yeah. How do you feel about edge right now?
Better. I'd still be surprised if they didn't bring in another veteran. I know that, that's still kind of being discussed out there, and maybe it's, you know, Brett and those guys, it's Kane Doe, it's Herring, it's one of these other guys that we haven't seen a lot of. Maybe they really, really believe in these dudes, or they've got veterans who don't want to participate in OTAs and mini camps, and they just told their agent, like, hey, so-and-so will be here, but he isn't going to do any of this off-season stuff, so he'll see you after, you know, right before training camp. Something like that could be done where we're going to sit here and talk about it for months and they already have a plan. That tends to happen a lot where we're seeing it kind of execute in slow motion. And you're trying to judge a meal before you've had all the courses. And so you kind of got to let the whole thing play out and see what the roster looks like when we get to week one or even training camp.
That's a great analogy, by the way.
Thank you.
Tyron, did you think he'd be back?
I did. I did up until I sent a tweet when we were at the Shrine Bowl in Vegas, and I just said, I'll support this dude. And he basically said goodbye to everyone on Twitter. And I get a call from Matt Derrick. I'm putting Matt on blast. I got a call from Matt Derrick, and he's like, did Tyron just say goodbye to Kansas City replying to your tweet? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, we're preparing to go do some interviews in Vegas. Like, I'm at the Shrine Bowl. Like, I had equipment all over the place. Like, we were doing a lot of work when we were out there. And I had looked at my phone after I sent that tweet in like 30 minutes, and I had like fucking hundreds of retweets. And then we went to the stadium and we were watching the thing, and they had it on NFL Network. And Kent looked at me. He's like, look up there. And they had my tweet up there and they were talking about it on NFL Network. And I was just like, I guess it's a thing. I don't know. But once he did that, those conversations is as far as whether it's the player in the team or the agent in the team, they've got a pretty good idea of, is there going to be something? Is there going to be an offer? Are there conversations to be had? And I know things are said in pressers and they don't want to say the wrong thing. So it's always pretty positive. And I understand why they do that. But as soon as he said that, it felt like, hey, he was willing and there just wasn't any kind of back and forth. And so I'm bummed that he's gone. I'm happy where he ended up, because I think that was the most likely scenario for him as a person. And I'll continue to say I'll support that guy and root for that guy, except when he's playing the Chiefs. I'll wish that guy nothing but success, because we don't win a Super Bowl without that guy. And as much as everybody gives credit to Mahomes changing the offensive side, like, Tyron deserves the credit for changing the defensive side. And I know he had his moments where he went with fans, and sad thing is I agreed with him a lot of the times that he kind of lashed out at fans. You start 2-3 during a golden age and everybody wants everybody fired. It's like, give them a little bit of grace, give them a little bit of time to work their way through this. But But yeah, I had a chance to be around them. Great people, good dudes. And yeah, we owe them a lot.
Yeah. What's your favorite move of the offseason?
I like the Leo Chanel pick. I liked it before he got in front of Chiefs fans and said violence and physical, whatever he said. Just watching that dude play as a rush Sam, that's the guy that's going to make plays. He's going to be in the backfield. He's going to be a crowd favorite just because of the energy he plays with. And just knowing Arrowhead is a defensive, it was born around defense. The mystique of Arrowhead was because of defense. It's because of Derek Thomas and Neil Smith and all those guys. And I think getting guys like Chanel and even Brian Cook, Karloftis, these energy giving fly around and hit people type players. It's going to be fun. It's kind of defense I want to see, build something where you're going to remember playing against that group on the other side. It's not, we have to face Mahomes and deal with this defense. It's these guys are going to come up and hit you in the mouth. And I think that's the kind of defense they're trying to build. And I think Leo Chanel is going to be one of those guys that Chiefs fans are just absolutely going to love even more than when he's saying now is when they get to camp and he puts the pads on, he's going to be a lot of fun. So it's probably my favorite move just because I feel like 2 years from now, there's going to be a lot of Chanel jerseys in the stands.
The difference in that linebacker core from just a couple of years ago, it just feels like, gosh, that could be the most punishing level of the defense. And and they're all so young and could be so good. I just love, I love what they've done there, a slow reinvention at a high level.
Nick Bolton, like those guys, it's going to be fun. I said the same thing about Willie Gay when they drafted him, just the energy he played with. He's one of those conduits. He can take the energy from the crowd and put it to his teammates and get everybody going and then work it both ways. And so getting him and the way that Bolton played last year, particularly to middle to the end of the year, man, it's that group's going to be a whole lot of fun to watch. And like to your point, to go from having a lot of veterans, a lot of second contract guys at that level to a whole lot of young guys, similar to kind of like the offensive line of what they did, where at one point, you had four guys on second deals. And from a roster composition standpoint, you had LDT and Eric Fisher and all these guys outside of, I think Mitch Morris was the only one on a rookie deal at that point, and Mitch Schwartz, and you had all these guys getting paid. Within 2 years, you just have a bunch of rookie contracts and a very good, obviously, offensive line. So it's fun to watch them kind of mold the roster every year. That second level of defense, that's going to be a strength of the team. I think maybe 2 years, may take another year to get everybody up to speed. It's gonna be a fun group,
man. Can you give me a least favorite move, or does that feel I don't want to put you on the spot, but I kind of want to put you on the spot.
Not least favorite. I'm trying to think of context. It's like the Marquez Valdes-Scantling, I didn't dislike the move. I just don't think it's fair to him to, you let Tyreek go and then you bring him in and everyone's just going to look at him like, okay, you're Tyreek now. And that's not fair to him at all. My least favorite move, not bringing Tyron back. I would say that vocal saying, I don't think you would ever regret whatever money you gave Tyrann Mathieu. I don't care if his athleticism was diminishing, if, he let up sometimes, it didn't go full bore and knock everybody out every time. I know there's been a lot of people cherry picking plays to say this is a reason that you don't want to bring somebody in, but somebody who's been around him and to know the impact he had on the guys who were around him, that leadership, that's invaluable. And so I said from the beginning, I don't care what contract he gets and how he performs, he will make value of the money that you give him, regardless of how much it was. So I would have liked to see them bring Tyron back, but I'm happy where he ended up. I'm happy that he's back home in New Orleans. He's going to do some great things in that community. But yeah, I would have loved to see him come back.
Are you a little surprised that, if you look at total actions, will – if you believe, hey, the actions here are going to tell you what they really thought about someone or something, then it seems like Justin Reed, that deal was like immediate, right? And like from the tampering period. And then a second round pick and Brian Cook, when they could have had every reason to go another edge or maybe another known corner versus like a few projects later on. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't have been hard to go another direction there. They signed, Deion Bush from the Bears. But it just really felt like for all the vocal, we're going to change up the defensive front, it almost felt like the secondary was like, it sounded like he meant to say like, that's code for secondary.
Yeah.
Because they just like wholesale changes.
Yeah. as much respect as I have for Brad Veach, I don't trust a lot of things that he says or that any GM says, like during the roster building process. There's no benefit. Yeah. You know, you don't get fan points for being honest during a presser in March if you still go out and lose. Yeah. Like the only thing that matters. This is one thing I really appreciate about Coach Reed is Coach Reed doesn't care about anything except coaching football. Like that's what he wants to do. That's what he gets paid to do. So who cares about the rest of this stuff? You know, it's just kind of, you got to do it because it's part of the deal, but they're judged on winning and losing football games. And so, I don't put a lot of stock into things that Brett says during that time. I didn't put it in stock in what John Dorsey said at the time or any other GM across the league. Like, I don't see value in them being honest. As sad as that is, somebody with a journalism degree, we want to see it. Either tell us the complete truth, which I don't think anyone could handle, or just don't tell us anything, because the middle ground just, it leaves too much for, you know, never really know what's going on. That's the one thing I'll say to your point earlier about stuff that's going on is that even when you're working inside that building, you only ever know about 15% of what's going on and only about 2% ever hits the public. And so when everybody says they know what's going on, I'm like, stuff like that doesn't get out. And so,
man,
yeah.
Do you have a final record prediction? Like you've seen the schedule, you've seen the roster construction today.
I was going like 12-5. I think that's a sweet spot. I think there'll be, you know, some hiccups with some young players because so many young guys on the defense and on the offense. I mean, not a lot of young players necessarily, but you got Juju, MVS, Sky Moore. They're going to get a lot of reps on the offensive side and, you know, depth of routes and timing and the way that they look and see things. And so much of this offense is, you know, the quarterback and the wide receiver being on the same page. And we don't mean when you say that, it's not same page of I call this play, you run that route. It's you're in the middle of the route and you see the safety squatting where you're about to go. You cut your route off early before you just run right into that window. Mahomes sees it because he sees the receiver like running into that spot. The receiver needs to see it and stop. And so if they don't see it on the same time, Mahomes throws a pass and no one knows who to blame because, oh, he ran the wrong route. Oh, he threw a bad pass when in actuality, it's just they weren't on the same page. And so those kinds of feeling type things are what they've got to figure out during training camp. It's it only comes with reps and seeing live defenses and guys going full speed on defense to know the windows that are there, to know how quickly Mahomes can throw a football and that he doesn't have to set his feet and cock his arm back all the way, that he can just fire from his hip, sidearm, run into his left, and he can throw back across to his right. That's going to take some use to some getting used to for Juju, who's used to having a statue at quarterback who can't move at all or throw the ball over 12 yards right now. And so, as much as we joke, like he finally gets a quarterback, it's going to take him a little time to get used to the things that Mahomes can do on a lot of these plays where it's a feeling. You know, they use the word leverage all the time. Like, where's the safety? Where's the linebacker? Where are the corners playing? It's going to take time for them to kind of feel that out. And so they're always, Andy Reid teams are going to hit their stride in the second part of the season. They're going to figure it out. And for me, the defensive side, just give the young guys some reps and just don't make the big, you know, turnovers, the big mistakes, and obviously avoid injuries. But yeah,
17 games in a season makes it a little bit more forgiving. I mean, if you have to take an early loss because you're just not on the same page, like this is a good time to have a young squad. It feels like getting that extra.
And I like the Thursday night game. I like playing the Chargers early. I think I said before the schedule came out, like, I hope they play Chargers week one. I think that's the other best team in the division. I know it's, we all joke about their pick to win every year, but Chargers are going to be that team, and playing them early in the season before there's a ton of tape out there on what Andy Reid and what, you know, these guys are going to do with these new body types on offense that they don't have Tyreek Hill. And to not necessarily force plays to, but you got the most explosive player in NFL history. You're going to feel an obligation to get him in situations to use that and make plays. And that takes away a lot of what makes Patrick Mahomes special and will never get enough credit for the mental acuity that he plays at that position, his ability, you know, with his eidetic memory to read a defense and know how many times, you know, as he drops back, a defense has been in that look. You know, what they do with tendencies and down and distances and all those things that he mentally understands. I think we're going to see a lot more of that this year, and we're going to get to see, we're always going to be enamored with the physical stuff, but the way he can read a defense and know where to go with the football in the right situation, much like we praised for Alex Smith for a long time. He was so good at that. that I think we'll see more of that from Mahomes this year. And that's a scary proposition for opposing teams that are now going to have to not just deal with the physicality of everybody, but you show a defensive look, Mahomes is going to know where to go with the football, and he's going to put the guys in the right positions to make plays. And so I'm excited to see what that looks like.
Love it. BJ, I want to give you a chance to talk about, obviously, the Kansas City KC Sports Network. It looked like a great first year. I mean, obviously, everything you guys put out was such high quality. And then now I'm seeing, like, it's not just Chiefs anymore. I mean, Royals fans can get everything they want there. Now you're getting in the college ranks. Can you tell us about, like, the breadth of coverage that people can get right now? And I'd love to hear even more about what's coming up.
Yeah, no, Matt, I appreciate it. Some of the things haven't quite gotten announced yet. We're in the middle. We've got some partnership meetings. We've got some new stuff that's coming up. But I can't.
You can't break any news here. You can't.
I'm so close. I'm pretty transparent, so I'll probably keep talking. It'll just come out. It's the one thing that I've noticed is I'm always like 4 or 5 months ahead of what we're doing in that moment. So like my planning, the things I'm working day to day right now are September, October, and getting some of these plans and these things that we have going on. So sometimes I forget what's been announced and where are we with some of this stuff. But I can't say it was a phenomenal first year for us. We learned a lot. It was tough starting from scratch and just kind of these platforms, you know, you go from having these huge platforms and all these, this baked in audience to kind of start it from scratch and starting it back over. And just because somebody follows you on Twitter doesn't mean they're subscribed to your podcast or your YouTube channel or all these different things that you have going on. And it takes time to get people back and to put out continuous, consistent, good content to get people there. But to your point, we started with, you know, a Chiefs heavy focus. And then thanks to Holiday Distillery, they were a big partner that jumped on that really helped us launch into the college space where we have KU, K-State, Mizzou content. Had some really good conversations. I won't say exactly what it is. We had some really good conversations on the Mizzou side today to launch some new Mizzou stuff. So that's going to be really, really cool when we announce that in a couple months. And Matt, you'll be like, that's what he was talking about. but no, our Royals guys, having Royals Farm Report, Joel, Josh, and Alex come over. Those guys have been doing a phenomenal job for the last few years. Same thing with, you know, our KU channel, Ain't No Seats, as a podcast, been around the last couple of years. Those guys had a cult-like following audience to listen to everything they have going on. But yeah, we've got a mix of, you know, informed fans, beat writers, former players. We've done that on the Chiefs side, and a lot of Chiefs fans, people listening might know that, but we're doing the same thing with KU content, with KU basketball, with KU football. We'll have a KU football show next year. We'll have, you know, K-State. We've got Aaron Lockett, got Nick Leckie, two former, you know, All-Americans that played there doing content with us. And then KU basketball, we got Jeff Hawkins that does weekly content with us. And so it's been really cool. It's been really special. I can say last year we had, I think it was 7 shows a week on the network. And right now for this fall, we're going to have 24 shows a week at KC Sports Network.
You're
we
kidding.
Have a lot of content coming up. And so we're going to be testing some diminishing returns laws and all stuff like that. But every one of those shows is different from each other. We've got about 4 or 5 shows we haven't announced yet, new hosts that are joining us. And so we've got about 22 hosts, 24 shows that will all start, training camp, August time. But I'm excited. We've got a lot of great people together. Like I said, by design, all the shows are a little bit different from each other. And so you don't get that redundancy. You got some new stuff. For example, you know, one of the new shows that we've got, Kendall Gammon does a weekly show on our network with Lamont Winston. And if you don't know Lamont Winston, but if you've heard of NFL player engagement, every NFL team in the league now has player engagement. They support the players. They help the players with different programs, helping, you know, their families find daycare and hospitals and just anything the player needs off the field. Player engagement helps with that. Lamont Winston started player engagement in the NFL with the Kansas City Chiefs. He was a Chiefs front office executive for like 25 years, started NFL player engagement. The NFL player engagement award that's given out every year is named after Lamont Winston. And so for him and Kendall Gammon, and they're close, they've known each other a long time. They do a show twice a month on our network. They're recording next week, but they talk about the NFLPA and the Players Association and what those programs that are offered and some of the things that people talk about, but they really don't know how it works. There's not a lot of content out there that talks about here are the programs that are offered, here's how the NFL or the teams or these departments are helping these guys. And that to me is interesting because it's not the same stuff that you're used to hearing all the time. It's unique, it's different, and it's specific to the team that you're supporting. And then you just get those anecdotal stories of, you know, the mid 90s, you know, late 90s Chiefs that are thrown in there as well. It's just, it's a really cool, unique piece of content. And that's the stuff that I absolutely love, is just being able to provide a little something different with all of our shows. And like I said, I'm excited because we've got a lot going on this fall. So you go on your podcast network. Once you subscribe to these guys with Arrowhead Addict, just search KC Sports Network or KCSN. You can find all of it. But yeah. A lot of cool stuff. Lots of cool stuff coming up. A lot of marketing. You're going to see a lot more KC Sports Network out in the community at different things. So yeah, should be fun.
Love it. Love it. BJ, you always do great work. It's exciting to see what KCSN is doing. If you guys aren't already, you can follow BJ online at BJ_KCSN. By the way, you guys also have Jeff Allen and Cookie Society. How many Cookie Society cookies have you consumed?
More than I'd like to admit. We did a Feed It Forward program last fall where we were sending, just because of COVID, and it was one of the community things that we did. We were sending 100 cookies to a different school every Friday to different teachers as a thank you. And every time I went, they were like, hey, you can have one. So, man, those things are good. You can't eat a lot of those cookies in one setting. Those are not that kind of cookie. That's like a dessert cookie. But they just opened
like a knife and fork.
Yeah, exactly. They just got a new, I talk to Jeff all the time. They just opened up a new location. So they've got a second storefront down in Texas, trying to convince them they will put one in Kansas City in the next few years. So there will be a Cookie Society. I'm not breaking news. Jeff has said this before, but there will be a Cookie Society in the Kansas City area in the next couple of years. But Jeff, Marissa, those guys are awesome. Mike DeVito's helped us out. Matt Castle is going to be back with us again next year doing weekly content. And so, yeah, it's been awesome to be around those guys, hear cool stories, and they're really good at explaining stories and then the game at ways that everyone can understand and everyone can take something from. So yeah.
Love it. And by the way, if you're listening, watching, don't already know, and I was going to let you go, but I'm going to make you say one more thing.
Okay.
Because so much of what KCSN and really BJ, you've been doing this even before KCSN, there's always been such a huge give back component. Not only is it not much at all to subscribe to what you guys are doing for all the content that you provide, but then so much of that even goes back into the community in so many various ways. Do you have a favorite story from that you could share with us? And then I'll let you go.
You're going to ask, is this stuff I care about? Like I think I built a media company to run a foundation is I think what I did. Cause I always joke, like, we're never going to make a lot of money cause I'm going to give it all back to the community anyway. But we got to feel like we're doing more than just, you know, creating content to distract people from working during the day. You know, that was kind of the joke back in the day at Arrowhead Prize. We're just writing stuff to try to keep you guys from being productive at work. And now the same thing's happening and you wanted to feel better about it. I think, you know, three things jump out to me that we've done that really stand out. The first, the Operation Breakthrough, the holiday raffle we did last year, being able to go to Dick's Sporting Goods and spend, you know, $14,000 on toys that we just turn around and then gave to Operation Breakthrough was awesome, just because I've always wanted to go in a store like that and just grab everything I saw and just buy all of it. And so we all got, like, all of us got to go do that. And so that was a lot of fun. But the tour of Hope Faith Ministries, the homeless shelter in downtown Kansas City, was such a perspective thing for us. And for me personally with Feed It Forward, it started with Jack Stack when I was still at the Chiefs, providing Jack Stack meals to nurses in Kansas City during COVID, as a way to help a local business because restaurants were really then figuring out how to still function and to pay their part-time employees and their catering employees, that were only built on, you know, if we have business, we'll bring you into work and we'll give you these hours. And so, doing Feed It Forward and then doing the cookies for teachers, soon went and took a tour of Hope Faith and learning about food insecurity and just seeing that, like, that was a perspective thing for us where it's like, okay, this is going to be something that we help with. We're going to give back in this way, in a very real perspective driven way. But my favorite campaign that we're going to do is this year with the Boys and Girls Club, of Greater Kansas City and partnership with Tickets for Less as well. And that it's called the My First Game campaign. And we're going to provide 4 tickets to every home Chiefs game to the Boys and Girls Club for kids who have never been to Arrowhead, who might not have the resources, the ability to go. They're going to get to go to a game at Arrowhead that most of us are Chiefs fans have had the opportunity. We've been blessed enough to be able to go. And there are a lot of kids in our community that just haven't had that opportunity. And so we're, like I said, 4 tickets to every home Chiefs game are going to the Boys and Girls Club. They're going to kids with a chaperone or, you know, a parent to take them to the game. But that's going to be cool because that hits home for all of us. I mean, Matt, you and I, like the reason that we were, you know, staying up late on all those open threads on Friday nights talking with each other is because of the feeling that we had becoming fans because we went to Arrowhead and we knew what being a part of that felt like. And to be able to give that experience to kids who might not otherwise have it, like that's real. Again, to steal another thing that Coach says. And so like it's the first year we've done it. I'm really excited. I know the Boys and Girls Club is really, really excited. Tickets for Less is excited. It's one of those, this is perfect for all of us to execute something like this and to do a very cool, real, pretty simple thing on the execution end of it. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I love it. Experiences like that can stimulate the imagination for someone who is never experienced something when you open their mind to, oh, this is possible, or, oh, this world has opened up to me. You never know what that leads to in a person's life. So I love what you're doing.
I can't find one person.
Kudos.
Thank
to
you. There's a whole team of people, our entire network. We're all on the same page. And so we can all come up with these ideas and we do these things because we're all, like I said, we all feel the same way about the stuff that we do. But I haven't met one person that hasn't walked out of the concourse the first time coming into one of those tunnels, looked at Arrow, had not gotten chills. And so I'm excited to know that, you know, more people are going to get that, you know, this year because, like I said, of a pretty simple idea and a few emails, a few phone calls and meetings, and it's all it took. So I'm excited for that.
That's great.
I appreciate you asking. So
yeah, of course. Of course. I think it's such an admirable part of what you guys do. BJ Kissel, everyone, BJ, it's been so great to have you on the show. It's nice to connect our podcasting once again.
Always.
After chop talk, you said it was. I didn't remember the
Looking
name
back,
of that.
We had some guests though. Like I went back a while ago and I found my old notes from that. Like we had Bill Moss, Nick Wright came on all the time. We had like Bill Moss. Like we had some guys that came on to talk to us about the team. Like it was good. We didn't know what we were doing, and I'm sure the content was awful.
But in theory,
we had an idea. We just were about a decade too early for everything. But I appreciate you having me on. It's like I said, the whole Chiefs content group is special because we've all known each other for so long and gone to different platforms, and we all continue to support each other. It's been awesome.
Yeah, all the best to you, BJ. Thanks again.
Of course.
So much for being with us.
Anytime.
We'll see you. Folks, as we're continuing here on the podcast for just a few more minutes, just want to give you a shout out. If you don't already, follow BJ. Again, that's at BJ_KCSN, all things Kansas City Sports Network. Honestly, they do such good work. Can't say that enough. So, support them as they support the community. You just can't beat that. Want to get to a couple questions here that I've just seen. I know that we've maybe not talked normally about, like, here's the latest Chiefs things and here's what we think about them. So I just want to hit a few things in quick bullet points. One, Daryl Williams signed with the this morning I posted something saying, why is Daryl Williams still a free agent? Because I just felt like he's shown enough without having too much tread on the tires to be a featured back not like a featured back, like RB1. But he certainly should be employed, it was surprising to me that he was still out there. Then this afternoon, he goes to the Arizona Cardinals. Remember, the Arizona Cardinals lost Chase Edmonds earlier this offseason to the Miami Dolphins. And so now the Cardinals had brought in Williams for a closer look, along with the Saints. The Saints had also showed interest. So either one of those places could have been interesting. It turned out to be Arizona. So we're glad to see him there. I think with James Conner, especially maybe with Conner, love the last name, but with Conner's injury history, maybe Williams will get a chance to show something there. So glad to see him getting a home. I know some people wanted him back in Chiefs Kingdom. I think Ronald Jones is going to be great. I have really high hopes for Clyde Edwards-Helaire this year, actually. That might seem unfounded to some of you, but I actually like it. In terms of defensive end, and we've talked about this, Melvin Ingram signed last week to the Miami Dolphins. Everyone's kind of wondering, what are they going to do? What's happening there? Carlos Dunlap has been brought up in the comments here. It actually seems like a pretty obvious thing there for the Chiefs to check into that. He's actually been more productive over the last couple of years than Ingram has. As well, some other names out there, honestly, I don't think they're that sexy. Jason Pierre-Paul, you know, that like that doesn't ring a bell. Maybe Justin Houston. I love the idea of a homecoming. I don't know how much of a fit he is and what Spags wants to do, nor do I know if there's any really interest there, given the way things ended. John F. just brought up Olivier Vernon. That's certainly an idea. Earlier this offseason, I was talking to my buddy Matt Lombardo, who covers the New York Giants, and he reached out to Vernon's agent and I just said, hey, do you know anything about Vernon? So he's like, let me give you a quick call. And so he reached out to Vernon's agent and just said, Vernon says he's like fully healthy and is still interested in playing this year. Vernon said it all last year with an Achilles injury. So when you're early 30s and dealing with an Achilles, who knows how that's going to turn out. So there are a few veterans out there with some name recognition. I think no one knows exactly how much is in the tank. And we also don't know exactly how they would fit in with what Spags wants to do. Although Pierre-Paul and Vernon both have history with Spags. So if you're looking for some names, maybe that. Probably the most productive pass rusher on the market at this point that could move the meter as a rotational guy would be Carlos Dunlap. Who knows at this point? Right now we're looking at Karlaftis getting starters reps from day one. And we're looking at Frank Clark holding it down and hoping he stays healthy. So anyway, that's what we got. As we're ending up, I just want to say this. A time like this, if you've been with us for the full hour, we started really heavy. Oh, by the way, I'm just seeing questions on Justin Houston. No, the Baltimore Ravens applied the UFA tender to Justin Houston on the same day, same exact scenario as the Chiefs on Melvin Ingram. So the Baltimore Ravens will have loan rights to negotiate with Justin Houston in training camp once that begins. However, any team can sign him up until that. So just back to this real fast, because I just want to close here. We started on a heavy note, and if you began with us, it's just been a heavy day reading about the shooting and the elementary school shooting in Texas. And since I've been talking here for the last hour, maybe there are further details here I don't know about, but we know. At that point, the figures said that 14 elementary school children were dead. And in all of this, and in my communication, even tonight with BJ, it just reminds us, it reminded me of a couple things. And I just want to close here. One, it makes me extremely thankful to have a buddy like Sterling to do this every week, to have other friends like Matt Verderam and Patrick Allen, and to be a part of a circle, a little part of the circle here at Arrowhead Addict. And even as a part of like Chiefs Kingdom overall, that we find belonging, that we find camaraderie, that we find just a fun place to hang out, share our opinions, say this guy is no good, this guy sucks, this guy's great, whatever. It's fun to be a part of this. And it's great to kind of escape from our normal lives and the heaviness of them in ways like this. So on the one hand, it makes me very appreciative of any of you at all who hang out. Even if you're mad hanging out right now, like, damn it, I wish Sterling was here. Or, oh, I thought it was Verderam's day. You know, whatever. I'm sorry. But also, I'm still thankful that you're around. And to anyone who reads our stuff on Arrowhead Addict, anyone who interacts on Twitter, Facebook, anyone here in the comments, we really value you. And we just hope that that's clear. At the same time, I'm also reminded tonight of just how important it is, this idea of giving back, this an idea of being citizens who are like informed and active in the world and not just passively watching these kind of things happen. What does it mean for us to enter in and have hard conversations? What does it mean for us to open up our minds to maybe believing something different about what we have thought for so long? What does it mean for us to allow our empathy and the stories of others to move us to new places? When I hear BJ talking about wanting to provide experiences to change people, wanting to provide food and meaningful work and meaningful experiences that may form them in new ways, that also makes me thankful for platforms like this that allow us to even have those kind of moments. So kudos to BJ and the crew there. Kudos to our team here, Richard, the producer, even behind the scenes, and all of you. It's a heavier day, but I'm just so thankful, even in the midst of all this, for all of you and the ability to do this. So we'll be back on Thursday with Patrick Allen, Matt Verderam. I'll be back next week with, hopefully, a Sterling Holmes, and we're going to have a special guest, Seth Kaiser. K-E-Y-S-O-R. He's going to get so mad at me for saying that wrong. From The Athletic and the Times Hours podcast. Anyway, I know you probably love Seth's work, so it's going to be a lot of fun having him on the podcast. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Go Chiefs.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.